In the name of God, who has made us and who loves us and keeps us. Amen. I have never been to a vineyard. Everything I know about grapevines, I've learned from magazines and movies and Jesus. I've read articles about Sonoma, California, and Southwest France, filled with photographs of vines curling across hillsides, green and heavy with grapes in late summer, burnished orange and gold by early autumn. Interviews with vineyard owners read almost like love stories. So constant and close is their care for their crop. And at the same time, they read almost like horror stories. So drastically do they have to prune a past season's growth in order to make way for new life. In my favorite movie, one of Meg Ryan's many romantic comedies, Kevin Kline teaches her how to taste in a glass of wine the herbs and trees and flowers with which a grapevine has shared its soil and rainwater and the busy work of bees. Wine is like people, he says. Currant, mint, lavender, they are in the ground here, he says. And in the air, the vine takes all the influences in life all around it, absorbs them, and grows its personality. So I have never been to a vineyard, but Jesus had, and so had those with whom he was having dinner that night, the night before he died. They were fishermen and tax collectors. They were women and men whose lives had been all but forfeit before they met Jesus. None of them owned a vineyard, but they had grown up surrounded by them, and they knew about vines and grapes and branches and wine. I am the vine, you are the branches, he said to them that evening. And whereas we might picture the honeysuckle or kudzu or wisteria with which we've been doing battle in our backyards and losing, but in their minds, they would have seen those endless rows of grapevines, branches either thick with fruit or brittle and dry and bare. They might also remember how prophets and sages had long spoken of God as a vine dresser and of God's people as a vineyard. Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard, wrote Isaiah. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He expected it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. It was one of many ways he would describe the bitter fruit of unfaithfulness. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, Isaiah explained, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting. He expected justice, but saw bloodshed, righteousness, but heard a cry. In other ancient passages, the wisdom of God, with whom Jesus is often identified, is depicted as the planting of God giving life to all who participate in it. Like the vine, I bud forth delights, wisdom says in the book of Sirach. And my blossoms become glorious and abundant fruit. So it was that Jesus, who along with everyone around him had been to vineyards in person and in prayer, so it was that he could weave them so often into his own parables and other teachings about God who made us and loves us and keeps us. In some of those teachings, we are the workers in the vineyard whose labor, whether long or short, is rewarded with the same generous wage. In other teachings, we benefit from the fruit of the vine in unexpected and extravagant ways, as when Jesus turns water into wine at a wedding, or when he tells his dinner companions that the cup from which they drink with him is his lifeblood. In these and other ways, we learn from Jesus that tending a vineyard is hard work, if a labor of love, and that its fruit is life-giving, an offering of love. I am the vine, you are the branches, Jesus said to those same dinner companions. And because we too gather around a table with him, he says it also to us. God is the vine grower. I am the vine. You are the branches. Abide in me. Jesus knew, and his friends knew, and we know that that is, of course, what branches do. They abide in, remain in, live in the vine from which they grow. And the vine grows in, abides in, remains in them. Abide in me as I abide in you, Jesus said. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Perhaps Jesus was thinking of how easily and often God's people had become separated from the life-giving love of God, reaching instead for other such enticing fruits as self-sufficiency, self-importance, and self-satisfaction, branching out in directions other than loving God with all their heart and mind and soul and strength, and loving their neighbors as themselves. And if at first they seemed to flourish in this way on their own, always they withered as fear grew around them and in them, strangling their freedom, suffocating their joy. Or perhaps Jesus was thinking of his friends at that table whose growth in him was still so tender, so new, so vulnerable. In John's account, Jesus knows that they will not remain with him when he is cut down, that they will deny him and betray him, turn in any direction other than the one he has to face. They will try to survive on such fruits as hiding in fear, resuming old and unproductive ways of life, or being consumed with bitterness. Or perhaps Jesus was thinking of us. Of we who, despite hearing that word love 29 times in our epistle reading, or the word abide 13 times between the epistle and the gospel, who, despite knowing something about vines and branches, even if we have never been to a vineyard, again, wisteria, who, despite all of this, we still think we need more than love to live fully and be fruitful. We think we need this thing or that, and then even more things. We think we need affirmation, and then praise, and then special privileges or to be set apart. We think we need power or status. We think we need distraction or self-medication, and we would seem to grow. But the fruit is bitter, and it does not last. Abide in me, as I abide in you. Jesus urges his friends, urges us against every fear that separates us from the vine, from the way and truth and life that is perfect love. Abiding, remaining in the vine, as branches do, there is no room for fear. Love me as I love you, it is as if Jesus has said. Love in me as I love in you. Love through me as I love through you. It is what vines and branches do, so long as the branches remain in the vine. What the vine is, so will the branches be. St. Julian of Norwich marveled, God is nearer to us than our own soul. Between us, there is no room for fear. For God is the ground in whom our soul stands and the means that keeps our substance and soul together. Our soul abides in God, she says. Our soul abides in God in rest, stands in God in strength, and is rooted in God in endless love. And this love, then, becomes the fruit that we bear, loving one another as we have been loved. I have never been to a vineyard, but I have tasted the fruit of abiding love in the gathering of branches here, at this table where Christ is our companion and our feast. On these grounds where we share a common life, where we share storms that we have weathered and growing seasons that we have celebrated, and out beyond those doors, where we branch out, bringing love with us, its tendrils intertwining with others and casting out fear. Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches. And though individually we are as wonderfully varied as grapes in whose growth is the essence of all that grows around them, it is the same love of Christ that sustains us all, and the same fruit of love that we all bear. Here is the vineyard. We are in it. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Amen.
Amen.